First reading this morning is from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verses 1 to 11. When you've come into the land that the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first fruit of the ground, which you have harvested from the land that the Lord your God has given you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. You shall go to the priest who is in office at that time, and say to him, Today I declare the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. When the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord, you shall make the response before him, The Lord your God. A wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. When the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. The Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and with a terrifying display of power, and with signs of and wonder, and he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land of flowing milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. You shall set it down before the Lord your God, and bow down before the Lord your God. And then, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, you shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given you and to your house. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading this morning is from Romans chapter 10. Verses 8 to 13. The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread. And Jesus answered him, It is written, One does not live by bread alone. Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it would all be yours. And Jesus answered him, It is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil took him to Jerusalem, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, He will command his angels concerning you to protect you. And on their hands they will bear you up, so you will not dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is said, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We decided one year to book a two-centre holiday. The first week was really successful, as our base was a comfortable cottage with the addition of some spectacular views. This was all enhanced of a week of sunny weather, and we felt quite lifted, refreshed, and enjoyed some picturesque walks and fine dining. Week one had found us in a good place. However, week two, day one, found us moving on and now residing in a rather basic, grim, and jaded caravan. The weather turned oppressive with threatening grey skies, the scenery somewhat subdued, our spirits dipping. Our comment at the time, cue the song, "What a difference a day makes." And another comment, we should have booked 2 weeks the other way around and finished on a high. Well, we all experience those lifting and inspiring moments in life when we find ourselves in a good place, a place that feeds our self-esteem. And equally those times we struggle through the grey hues overhead, our resources and energy levels running low. Luke's gospel places Jesus entering the wilderness shortly after his baptism. The account of the baptism of Jesus was an amazing, unforgettable event, where Jesus was acknowledged and affirmed as God's Son. And God's love and acceptance of him is publicly proclaimed. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." A breathtaking moment, washed by John in the waters of Jordan, where the Holy Spirit descends upon our Lord, and the very voice of God breaks through the heavens and affirms who Jesus was and is and will be. I once read, quote, "Life isn't measured by the breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away." Week one finds Jesus in a good place, lifted, optimistic, affirmed, loved, and cherished. But what a difference a day makes. Because Jesus is then led into the wilderness by the Spirit. A barren place, an isolated place, a landscape parched, brittle and barbaric at times. The sun's heat would be relentless all day, the cold penetrating the body by night. How often did Jesus cling to the words, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased," to get through those days? Any tears that he may have shed may have reminded him of the waters of the Jordan trickling down his face at the moment of his baptism. How often in our suffering and during the trials of life, we too cling to our baptism and hear those words, "You are my child whom I love. With you I am well pleased," to get us through. So the scene is set. The backdrop is intimidating, wild and uncomfortable, and Jesus takes up residence for 40 days and 40 nights. And 40 is a significant number in the Bible. The flood during the time of Noah tells us it rained relentlessly for 40 days. Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days. Nineveh was given 40 days to repent. And Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness being tested. A time of testing indeed. Peter and I have been married 40 years. A time of testing indeed. Jesus is hungry. He's frail. He's drained. And no doubt at his weakest point. What an appropriate time for the devil to arrive on the scene, who up until now has been watching and waiting attentively in the wings, ready to play his part. And how often in our weakest point, at our lowest ebb, temptations creep in. It's not always the huge temptations that get us, but those little moments when we are tempted not to do or say something that we ought to. We are tempted to look away and not get involved, tempted to follow our own pursuits and lose focus on God's plans for us. I liked the idea of Jiminy Cricket from the Walt Disney film, who perched himself on Pinocchio's shoulder and whispered into his ear during those weaker moments to avoid temptation of doing bad things. He would remind Pinocchio of the consequences of his behaviour. We could always tell how Pinocchio was doing by the length of his nose. So how are you doing this far into Lent? Eaten yet any of those things you agreed to give up? The biscuits maybe, the chocolate, that glass of wine? Eve was tempted to eat fruit from the forbidden tree. Look what happened to her. I will check the length of your nose at the end of the service. Temptation can be beautiful and it can be seductive. And Jesus demonstrates his worth and faithfulness, tempted in every way as we are, but without sin. He resisted Satan's invitation, proves himself through testing, and God becomes his fortress, and in him he finds the strength to be resilient and resist. This experience in the wilderness becomes a kind of boot camp for Jesus and will prepare him well for his future ministry. And who will be his sparring partner but the devil himself, who will certainly put Jesus through his paces and toughen him up. His final three temptations represent the greatest and final test of all. If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. An encouraging thought. One could almost feel the warmth and the structure and texture of the crust. One could almost smell the aroma, irresistible, of freshly made bread. An attractive lure to a hungry man. But Jesus resists. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. His own hunger will not distract him. We think often about our attitudes to food and money and material things so often. And here Jesus calls on scripture, confirming that God gives true life and God gives true satisfaction. There is a new order now. The hungry are fed with good things and the rich sent empty away. The second test is about power. The devil takes him to a high place and Jesus views the kingdoms of the world. He invites Jesus to worship him, and his reward will be that the devil will give him the power, authority, and the splendor that comes from such ownership. Worship me and it will be yours. But Jesus resists again, quotes from Deuteronomy that such power belongs to God. Serve only him. He is the one and only one to be worshipped. And the final test is about security. How safe are you feeling at this moment, Jesus? Are you feeling vulnerable right now? Are you going to be let down? Why not test it out? If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from this high pinnacle. Trust that God will rescue you. Give it a try. And the devil quotes from Psalms, a clever move, but Jesus resists. He refuses to test God in this way. Jesus has not come to save himself, but to save others. In this strange, formidable, barren place, in this wilderness, love has flourished. And during Lent, our time of reflection and denial, love will flourish. Amen. Please sit or kneel for our prayers.
This week we saw International Women's Day. And so I thought it would be nice if we had our prayers this morning inspired by women. And women in the Bible who teach us something of what it is to walk in God's way. Let's pray. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he's made. God of the blessed, we praise you for mercy shown, grace given, living water, Spirit's power. We think first, Lord, of Deborah, a powerful woman, a prophet, and a judge, a leader. We ask you for daily strength for our leaders, hope for tomorrow, and your words to guide them. We lift to you all the decisions in this country that will happen this month, and we ask that you'll be there to inspire the woman who leads us and the women and men who take care of our laws. The psalmist says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are my God and my Saviour, and my hope is in you." We pray, Lord, for your world, and we remember Esther, an influential woman who chose to act despite fear. She showed courage to save her nation. And we lift to you the world and all its violence and all its hatred. We think especially of Syria, and we ask God that you empower men and women there to lead in your way. God of the oppressed, we bring you the broken ones, the forgotten ones, the exploited and the abused ones. Bring freedom and release. Bring love and compassion to the damaged hearts and souls. And Lord, we now bring to you our community, and we remember Anna, a devoted woman, a woman who recognized Jesus for who he was. God of the distressed, we bring you grieving ones, hurting ones, suffering and wounded ones. We bring wholeheartedness and healing, and comfort and relief. And we remember, Lord, at this time, those who are in need. Angela, Jessica, Alison, Beryl, Gemma, Ellie, Christiana, Phyllis, Lynn, Rondell, Peter, Nola, Natasha, Margaret, Cameron, Steve, Paul, Carol, Marjorie, Lenny, Pauline, James, Linda, Gary, Christine, Bob, and baby Ezra. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all and has made all. May the peace and love and compassion of God be with those now who are no longer with us. And we remember Martha, a faith-filled woman, a woman determined to do good. We lift to you, Lord, William, and those whose anniversary of death occurs at this time. Lillian Davis, Lillian Bain, George Chambers, and Gertrude and Thomas Kent. We thank you, Father, for the men and women who lead us, guide us, show us grace, and bring us to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.